the secret that I find. I'll spend forever in the pleasure I found, looking in your eyes. Give me Jesus. Give me
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you very much for being here on another Godcast episode of Rise Up here on LFA TV. Thank you so very much for being here this morning. Want to make sure that our sound and our picture is all good for you guys this morning. We had some technical difficulties here this morning, but we were able to overcome them through the grace of God, and here we are together again for episode number 380. That's right, 380, ladies and gentlemen, of Rise Up. We're almost 400 episodes in. Let me just see how we're doing here. I can see, there we go. Looks like we're doing all right. Looks like sound and everything is good. Thank you very much. So almost 400 episodes in. And I feel like we're just getting started. I literally feel like we just got started yesterday. It's kind of like raising kids, right? One minute you're changing their diapers and telling them not to get into everything. And the next minute, they're gone, living their own lives. And you pray that you did your job correctly. Now, today's show is going to be a tearjerker for some, especially those who have recently lost somebody, like a father. Congratulations on 380. Time does fly. That's correct. And people who had a rough childhood. This is going to be a rough show for you today, so you might want to get your Rise Up tissues ready. But I promise you that in the end, everything's going to be okay. C. Gannon, welcome to Rise Up this morning. Water Cop, God bless you and welcome. River Rat and Jana Hunter, good to see you both. C. Michaels, Mustache 49. Andy Artist, thank you very much for being here today. One day before 4th of July, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I will be the only one in LFA TV working tomorrow. Arthur said, someone has turned off my ability to rumble rant. Nobody's turned it off. I don't think that's possible. But yeah, there's probably some bugs in the system. Good morning, OFP Farms. Thank you very much for being here. I will be working tomorrow. Nobody else, I believe, in LFA is going to be working tomorrow, and rightfully so. It's a holiday. But yeah, I'll be working tomorrow. Was there no newsletter? No, there was no newsletter this morning. No newsletter this morning. MDUS, put that in the lower section because I can't copy it while I'm on right now. That's my job now, says L. Dooley. I take care of my grandchildren. Why, Jeremy? Why am I working tomorrow? Because the message doesn't stop. And the truth doesn't stop. And we're not really doing anything in the morning anyways. So why not? I mean, I don't know if people will be, watching things online. But I'll be here. And Redneck said, I'll be working too. Bisbee Fam says, happy birthday to my mom, Diana, longtime listener, monthly donor, and rumple ranter. Well, Diana, it's your birthday today. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Diana. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Diana. Well, thank you for being here. Well, you're welcome. I'll be here with you, said Race Mom. I just saw that my daughter, Shaylin, texted me. She's back in New Hampshire now. She said, sorry, I fell asleep last night because she didn't say goodnight to me. That's okay, sweetie, if you're watching. Both shows, Jeremy? Yes, I'll be doing both shows tomorrow. Producer Eli probably won't be here, so it'll be a, you know, it'll be a slim down show, but we'll get through it. Yes, happy birthday. Okay, so I titled today's show, ladies and gentlemen, He's My Dad. What a saying that is. That's my dad. He's my dad. I got a good dad. I don't have a dad. My dad wasn't there for me. All of us have a father or a dad. All of us were conceived by a male and a female. However, some of us had great fathers, earthly fathers. Some of us had okay fathers that were there. And some of us had really bad earthly fathers. Some of us still have our parents. And some of us do not. But as my daughter has recently left and gone back to New Hampshire, for the first time in my life, I do not have daily physical contact with my firstborn child. The child that changed me forever. There are two times in my life, three times, that I can remember a massive change in my personality and in my lifestyle. One of those, the first one ever, was when my daughter was born, my first daughter. As we all change when we become new parents, right? The second, and most important, was when I died on the side of an interstate and was reborn a child of God. And the third was when my wife and I were going through a lot of troubles, and she literally got down on her knees on the floor in front of me, begging me to see the problem so that I could fix the problem, so that we could carry on in our marriage. And not just carry on to get along, but really, really embrace our marriage and love our marriage. Those three moments of my life changed my life. But I often wonder how my life would have been different and what memories I would have had if I had my dad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to many verses where we're talking about the love of a father. Please remove your hats if you're wearing one and join in with me for the morning prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, you brought me to this message this morning for a reason. And I know that I'm going through my own things as a father. But I believe the reason, Lord, that the Holy Spirit guided me to this show today was because of the multitude of people that need to hear this message today. We are born to this world with two fathers, an earthly father and a heavenly father. For some, they grew up with neither. Some grew up with both. Some were introduced to both later in their lives, and some still have not neither. Lord, this is a very touchy topic for a lot of people today, but it's a very wonderful topic to discuss. Thank you for giving us wisdom and showing us things every day that we didn't see the day before. Lord, we pray that everybody's heart is warmed and touched by your heavenly word today. We pray that smiles are on every face and joy is in every heart. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. And we say amen. So, as we get into today's topic, I want you to understand that I grew up not knowing either my earthly nor my heavenly father. And when I met my earthly father, the first time I remember meeting him, it was not a very pleasant moment. And as a matter of fact, the first time that I ever tried to go to God was not a pleasant moment either, because I wasn't ready. But today, as I stand here, 44 years old, I now have both in my life. Now, I have never thrown a baseball with my dad. I've never thrown a football with my dad. I've never went to a game with my dad. And I don't remember, up until my adult life, ever getting a hug from my dad. And I remember I used to be in shambles. So mad. So sad. So much so that when I would see a movie of a father and a son together with love in between the two of them, I would burst out in tears, and then I would act out on anger because I didn't have that. Now, I not only have a beautiful, wonderful relationship with my father, who texts me literally every single day about how much he loves me. I also have a heavenly father who was there the whole time, who I didn't accept. So when I realized that I was mad for years at my dad for not accepting me, but when I realized that God is not mad at me for not accepting him for 37 years of my life, 36 years of my life, I realized I was being too harsh on my earthly father. And when I do things for my son or for my daughter that I never got done for me today, still today, I'm not mad, but I often think, wow, what's that like? I asked my son. Now, my sons, my daughters, they know no different. Well, my stepdaughter, who doesn't have her father in her life, her real father, she understands, but the rest of my children, they know no different. They've always had me there. Now, have I always been perfect and understanding and lovable and all that? Probably not, but I've always been there. So I asked my son, I said, what's it like? He said, what's what like? I said, what's it like having a dad whom you play soccer with, throw a football with, play basketball with, play pool with, go to the movies with, build things with. What's it like? And because my son knows no different, he said, it's cool. It's cool. And it's hard for me to give them a hypothetical because there's no way that they can think like that. You know what I mean? Like, imagine not having that. And it's hard for them to imagine that. So anyway, getting back into this, I started thinking about people who never ever find that relief, who never meet their fathers, or who fathers pass away too early for them to be there while they were going through some of the most important things of their lives. I try to think of my daughter getting married and me not being there to walk her down the aisle because maybe I'm not here or maybe, you know, whatever. I try to put my children in that scenario, and I couldn't even imagine not being there for them. I want to read some verses for you if I can. Again, no, there was no verse of the day today. But I will pull this up on the screen here so that you guys can see my screen so that we can all read it together, okay? Well, we just lost it. Of course, nope, it's right there. Okay. I'm going to read for you some verses that are about fatherhood, and we'll go through them together, okay? Let's pop this over on the screen here. 1 John 3:16. I mean, how can we have this conversation without having this verse in our lives? His love is sacrificial. Now, for those dads out there who know what I mean, moms too, you'd sacrifice anything for your child, right? Anything. No matter, you'd sacrifice your freedom, you'd sacrifice your own life for your child. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Our Heavenly Father loves each and every one of us so much that he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And he did this to give us a new life so that we could spend eternity with him. This is true, sacrificial, and unconditional love. That means that we don't have to do something for God to give us unconditional love, and for God to sacrifice everything for us. Now that's a dad. That's a father. Let's go to the next one, number two. 1 John 3:1. We are called his children. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. Not only does God love us, but he has adopted us into his family, calling us sons and daughters. As Christians, we have to step into the full understanding of this, living our lives as though we believe this to be true. This verse makes me think of all the feelings I felt the very first time I held my son Judah in my arms. I knew in my heart there was nothing that I would not do for my son. God feels the same way about us. That is how I felt when I first held my daughter. And I'm sure each and every one of you felt the same way. Now, when I got older, my mom had always told me that my dad was never there for me and that my dad left us. Now, while some of that might be true, there was always two sides to the story, right? When I got older, I saw pictures that I never had seen before. Pictures of my dad holding me when I was a baby. Pictures of my dad holding me up in the air like this, like Simba and Mufasa, right? Holding me up in the air like this with the biggest smile on his face that I had ever seen. Pictures of me sitting on my dad's lap. So there's a comparison there, a parallel there. My whole life, my Father in heaven, Yahweh, was with me, and I didn't even know it. In my whole life, I grew up thinking that my dad was never there for me. But he was. And I cherish those pictures. And I have those pictures. And they're the only copies of those pictures on earth. And God in heaven provided those very rare physical pictures for me. And it was a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, all built up. And it all came crumbling down the minute that I saw those pictures. Truly incredible. We are all called his children. Let's go to the next verse here. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. He leaves the 99. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go and look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Matthew 18, 12 through 14. Our Heavenly Father loves each of us like there's only one of us. This is probably the hardest concept to grasp. When we first come to Christ, it's hard to believe that with so many Christians in the world, God could have so much love for just one of us. Think about that. There are 2.2 billion people in this world who identify as Christians. That's nearly one-third of the Earth's population. Now, whether or not all of these people really know Jesus as their personal Savior is a whole nother discussion. But still, the Father loves us so much that he's willing to leave the entire flock in order to bring us back to him. Now I see somebody said no tears here, just stirring up anger. Good. Good. Because I'm about to decimate that anger here in just a few minutes. Let's go to the next verse here. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. He gives us good gifts. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Matthew 7, 11, and 12. I asked God for a father. God gave me two. Think about that. I asked God for a father for decades. And the minute that I opened up and received Jesus, God gave me two. More than I asked for. And a lot of it came through those pictures. Ladies and gentlemen, share this video. We're a little low on our family here today. Matthew 6:8. He knows before we even ask. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even ask him. I can tell you this. I know my children so well that I know this, and I'm only their earthly father. How much more does our heavenly Father know our hearts? Knows exactly what we need and what we desire. Number 6. John 14:15-17. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The first and greatest gift that we receive as we become children of our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest example of truth of number 4 and 5 on the list. Can you imagine if your Father in heaven, not your Father on earth, but your Father in heaven looked at you and said to you, man, the first time I met you, I was hoping that wasn't you. I didn't want anything to do with you. Or how about if your Father in heaven said, well, I won't say that, not on this show. But imagine if your Father in heaven said things to you that were like, I'm sorry I ever created you. I wish I would have never created you. After I did create you, I looked at you and wished I never saw you. Imagine if your Father in heaven said that stuff. And if you cannot imagine your Father in heaven saying that stuff, your Father on earth should not say that stuff either. We as fathers or we as mothers should want to copy how God is to us. Amen? Now I want to read something for you. Something that I wrote down today. Something that I was inspired to write down from somebody that I saw. God, your Father, your actual, primary, all-loving Father. He's saying this to you today. Now, I want you to imagine yes, my Father has apologized. He has. Yes. Not only has my Father apologized to me, but in the last month and a half, he has told me how proud he is. He's patted me on the back and said, well done, son. Well done, son. Sorry, I just had to text something here. So when my Father patted me on the back about 3 weeks ago and said, well done, son, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. But can you imagine if your earthly father, while growing up, said these things to you? Ready? I've watched you. I've watched everything that you've been through. I've watched you fall. I've watched you get hurt. I've watched you fight for your life to get back up. I've watched you learn. I've watched you grow. I've watched how hard that you have worked to become the best version of you. And I see your heart today. And it's beautiful. It's pure. And it's ready to be loved the same way that I love you. Imagine if your earthly father said those things to you. Some of you did have an earthly father like that. But that's what your heavenly father says to you every day. Let's read on. Imagine if your earthly father said this. So get ready. Because what's coming next is everything that you've been praying for. Take heart, for I am preparing doors to open for you that no man can ever shut. Opportunities will arise that you never imagined possible. Keep your eyes on me and let your heart be filled with hope and anticipation for the miracles that are about to unfold in your life. You are loved beyond measure, cherished beyond any words, and destined for greatness. So rise up today, beloved, and walk boldly into the destiny that I have prepared for you. Imagine if your earthly father said those things to you at any time in your life, whether he was there for you or whether he wasn't. And if that has never happened, and if there's no chance of that ever happening, take heart that you do have a father. Whether you feel like you can hug him or not, whether you feel like he's real or not, I can tell you he is. Because I have seen him change people's hearts in the blink of an eye by hearing the gospel. I've seen him change the worst into the best. And I know what he's done for me. But I remember when I got out of prison, the only place that they would parole me to was to my father's address. I had no other place. And my father did not want me to come from prison and go live at his house at 22 years old. And he was ashamed of me, actually. Which was really odd, I always thought, because my dad was a way bigger troublemaker than I was at my age. The difference is he grew up in a different time. And he never really got caught for any of the bad things that he did. So I was always confused by that. He was just ashamed of me. And I remember getting out of prison. And I remember his buddies would be over in the garage working on cars, drinking beer, stuff like that. And I remember he would say stuff to me like, anybody need a beer? Yeah, I'll take one. I'll take one. I'll take one. Hey, jailbird. Yeah, you. Since you don't have anything and you're leeching off everybody, go get these guys a beer. Make yourself useful. Be worth something today. And I can remember hating him for that. And I can remember walking to the refrigerator in the house to get these guys these beers, basically completely humiliated, but I couldn't do anything about it because if he said, I don't want him paroled here, then I'd have to go back to jail if I had nowhere else to parole to. And that was every day. Hey, jailbird, go do this since you don't have a life. Hey, inmate, get up. And I hated him. Man, did I hate him. But that's all gone now. And I don't hate him at all. I don't even hate him even a little bit. And the reason why I don't hate him is because of my Father in heaven. And because of this thing that I just read to you that I wrote earlier. So my, I guess, reason for doing the show today is twofold. Number one, if you have a father whom you've hated your whole life, whom done you wrong your whole life, maybe reach out to him. Maybe try to bury the hatchet. But don't do it yourself. Ask God to go along with you. Ask your Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit to accompany you to that conversation. Maybe they've been waiting as well and they've wanted to because they're getting older and they're about ready to die and they regret everything. And maybe they just don't want to make the first move. And maybe you're too prideful to make the first move or hurtful to make the first move. Remember, not forgiving somebody and holding a grudge is like you eating a poison pill hoping that it hurts or kills the other person. It's only going to hurt and kill you. My other reason for doing this today Victory said, nope, he disowned me, done, okay? Well, for my other reason for doing this today is for those who have no chance of reconciliation and for those who have no chance physically from even talking to their father because he's not here any longer, it's okay. Because you are not a bastard. You have a father. Victory, you have a lot of hate in your heart, honey. And I can see because of the way you're typing that you're still hurt over it. And I do believe that God is speaking directly to you right now. Because I've been there. I see all these people with hurt in here. But Victory is the one that stands out to me the most with the most hurt. Now, folks, I know that there's fathers out there who've molested. I get it. I know there's fathers out there who've disowned. My dad tried to get me to fight him one time because he hated me so much, and I wouldn't throw a punch back. And he had me on the ground, and he was holding me down, punching me, telling me to get up and fight him, and I wouldn't do it. I don't know why, because I hated his guts. But I do know what it's like to be assaulted by my father, maybe not sexually. I know what it's like to be left for dead. I know what it's like to be left to rot. I know what it's like to have him say that the worst thing that ever happened in his life is me. And I also know what it's like for him to look at me and say, I wish your mother would have swallowed. I didn't want to say that today. But I know the hurt. I do. So whether there's room for reconciliation and forgiveness, or whether there's not, you don't have to worry about it. You really don't. And you don't have to be hurt about it anymore, Victory. You just don't. Like, I'm tearing up through all of this today, not because of my own experiences, because I've made peace through that with God, but for yours. I feel your hurt. I remember it. It's not good. I remember that pain every day of my life. Seeing other people with their fathers going, wah, wah. It's not that hard. So anyway, you ever see those movies with those people that have those special powers, like where they touch somebody and they feel their pain and then they feel all of it and they start crying, like clairvoyance and stuff like that? That is how I just felt reading the hurt that was coming from Victory. So I hope today's message helped you. And I think now that maybe I've kind of helped that hurt a little bit, I think I'll read this top part again. God, your father, not your dad, but your real father, is saying to you today, one more time, I have watched you. I've watched everything you've been through. I've watched you fall. You know, like when your little toddler falls, when you're a new parent and you rush over there and you clean up their knee and you kiss them and you hold them and you tell them, everything's going to be okay. I'll kiss it and I'll kiss your poo-poo and make it better. I've watched you fall. I've watched you get hurt. I've watched you fight Victory to get back up. I've watched you learn, like we all are here today together. I've watched you grow. I've watched how hard that you have worked to become the best version of you, despite what your earthly dad did or didn't do for you. And I see your heart today, and it's beautiful. It's pure, and it's ready to be loved the same way that I love you. I'm just reading some of your great comments here, and I see so many people are so hurt. T. Mitchell, Jeremy, when my dad passed and my stepmom said the most evil, horrible, horrific things to me, she was so evil. I pray I have nothing to do with her. You know, I often wondered why God said, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. And then I often wondered, okay, I'll do that. And I did. And I still hated them. And I still wanted to punch a hole through some people's faces. But when I was able to forgive my dad for not being there, it's because I got new information, number one. And it wasn't really my dad's fault why he wasn't there. It really wasn't, because when I was little, before I remember anything, he loved me so much. But when I was able to forgive my dad, and now I look at my dad and I love him and I want to give him a big old hug every time I see him, I don't even think of the bad anymore. So that is how you love your enemies. You truly do forgive. You truly let it go and give it to God. If you harbor hate for your enemies or hate for the people that wronged you or hurt you, and you've got a lot of work to go, and that's okay. You're a work in progress. God is molding you like clay. But it is possible to love your enemies. And it is possible to forgive even the worst acts that people do to you. My father never, like, physically bothered me too much, except for that one time that he tried to get me to fight him. But man, the things that he said in his verbal words and the emotion, it destroyed me. I was beat down. I was beat down. You guys ever heard about the story of the rich man who would not let go of the chest of gold that fell overboard into the water? He dove in after his riches. And as the riches were sinking, he was trying to hold on. And he just kept sinking and sinking and sinking. And he kept trying to hold on. And he kept trying to swim back up. Don't hold on. Don't harbor those feelings anymore. You're sinking. Jeremy, I beat up my dad's wife for taking him away from my mom. And now she's gone. Yeah, I can understand that. Let go of that of which is not going to give you eternal life. Holding on to that hate, God said if you hold hate in your heart, you are no different than a murderer. We don't want to be labeled as that. We don't want to live life through that, with that stigma and that label. Jeremy, I'm sobbing listening to your story. I am so sorry. I feel so blessed to have two loving parents. I almost feel guilty. I feel so sorry for you and others who didn't have any good parents. Well, I understand that. Jeremy, does your dad listen to the show? Not this show. Not this show. He's not quite there yet. But he does watch, when he can, Live from America. He does watch that. That's what he patted me on the back for and said, well done, son, when I brought him to the studio and showed him the studio. Keep focusing on Christ. That's it. That's it. So I'm going to read a couple things here for you before we head out. Second Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully handling the word of truth. When a dad teaches his child from the Bible, even if it's as simple as reading the story of David and Goliath or Jonah and the large fish, the child grasps that this story is important to dad and thus should be to him or to her. Give your child the gift of reading to them from God's word. God is the head of our household. I'm responsible for seeing that the kids know your word. If I can give them a strong foundation in scripture, I'll be starting them down the path to a happy life. I pray then, Lord, for your wisdom as I impart what I know of the Bible to my children. Though I am far from a Bible scholar, take what I do know and multiply it, just as Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Lord, teach me your word, that I might teach my young ones your wisdom and not teach them hate, shame, despair, loneliness. I absolutely love my Father in heaven. And by absolutely loving my Father in heaven, it makes me absolutely forgive and love my mother and father here on earth for what they did to me years and years and years ago. That's all right. Started that a little early, but that's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much, and you can break generational curses out there. You can bring peace and joy to your life if you don't have it just by merely forgiving those who did wrong to you, especially your dad and your mom. You are the treasure that God wants us to honor our parents no matter what they've done. It's kind of like loving thy enemy, right? So let's work on that together, and let's bring joy back to our lives. I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for joining me on Rise Up, episode number 380. This was a good one. Please share it, and I'll see you guys at 11 o'clock for more Live from America. Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next. See you later.